Okay, today's daf is Ksubis daf Ayin Vav, and we are in Perek HaMadir, the second to last daf of Perek HaMadir, the seventh Perek here in Maseches Ksubis, still discussing issues of husband and wife relationships, which is really what this Masechta is all about, relating to Tnaim and positive elements of the marriage, and Ksubis, and negative elements, meaning where one doesn't fulfill their commitments, right? And now, just marriages itself, where there was some type of understanding that was not fulfilled at the time of the marriage. So yesterday, we're going to start right from the middle of Ayin Hei Mabeis. We had asked a inner contradiction based on our Mishnah. If you remember, our Mishnah had said on yesterday's daf, on daf Ayin Hei and Aleph going over, that if a woman has mumin and it is not clear when these mumin started, when she got these mumin, so that is a question. And there's a machlokas between the husband and the wife. The wife says, there were these mumin after erusin, and therefore you still have to pay me the full ksuba, while the husband says that, no, these were here beforehand, and therefore I don't have to pay you the ksuba. So where were these mumin discovered? The Mishnah said. The Mishnah said again on the bottom of Ayin Hamad Aleph that if they were discovered bebeis aviha, meaning after kiddushin, and she's still in her father's house, so then the father has to bring a raya that mishenis arsa. The father has to bring a raya that was only after erusin these movings started, and nistakva sadehu. But if they were discovered after nisuin, they're already married fully, so then it's the husband's obligation. The burden of proof is upon him to bring a raya that the mumin were there before erusin, and if he can't, he has to pay her the ksubas. That was what the Mishnah had said. So the Gemara asked, and this was all within the shita of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara asked yesterday, but those two lines on the beginning of the Mishnah seem to contradict each other. Right? The first line, if you're just to put it into terms that we're familiar with from the first parak, one line seems to be going like Rabbi Gamliel, and one line seems to be going like Rabbi Yeshua. If you remember, machlokos, between the husband and the wife, in the first parak, Rabbi Yeshua was always the one that said, focus on Cheskas Mamon, and Hamotzi Mechaveir Olam Araya, and that wins, and therefore in most cases the husband is going to be believed, because, you know, he has the money and he's not going to have to pay the ksuba, and that's what it sounds like from the first line of the Mishnah, that the father has to bring the raya. And if the father doesn't bring the raya, meaning the father who's acting on her behalf, the father doesn't bring the raya, so then he doesn't have to pay, meaning no raya is brought, he doesn't have to pay, so that shows that Cheskes Mamon is primary. While on the other hand, the second line of the Mishnah, which says, once there is nisuin, so then the husband has to bring the raya. So what is that mashma? So that if there's no raya brought, then the father wins and he has to pay. And therefore that sounds like Rabbi Gamliel's cheskas haguf is what wins. So it sounds like from the first two lines of the Mishnah, there's an inner contradiction what the status quo is if no raya is brought. So there are going to be three answers to that question. Answer number one was what we had yesterday, and that is machlokas. Easy answer, the most difficult answer to put into the words, but it's the easiest answer just to say. The Gemara throws up his hands and says, Tavra, break it, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, and that was Rabbi Elazar's suggestion, the first suggestion in the Gemara, number one. Finally, we went into a little bit, Tsara'as came up after that. But now we're up to number two. Let's start with answer number two. It's right in the middle of Ayin Hei Mabeis, Rava Amar. So Rava gives a second answer, how to explain our Mishnah. As Rashi says, even if we're assuming everybody agrees to Rabbi Gamliel, meaning everybody agrees that her Cheskas Haguf should win, and we should assume that the woman was born without these mumin, and these mumin then came only after erusin, and therefore the ksuba should have to be paid. Aye, so why, in one case, does the father have to bring the raya? So, reisha kanimsu v'kanhayu, seifa nami kanimsu v'kanhayu. What does this mean? There's another type of, you might call it a chazaka. If you find a reality, you assume that this reality has been existent as long as in this spot, from the beginning of time, that this spot existed. Meaning, if you have a mum when she is a nesua, so you find the mum when she is a nesua, so we assume this mum has existed the entire time that she has been a nesua. If you find it before, if you find it bebeis aviha, so you assume it's always been here bebeis aviha. That's the principle of kanimsu v'kanhayu. They're here, they've always been here. What do you mean always been here? Since the beginning of time? No, since this reality. Now she's in Nesua. So since this reality started, so that's when the movement started. So that is why. If the Nesuin are discovered after Nesuin, so then we assume these women were here the entire time of Nesuin, but not beforehand. And that's why the husband has to bring the raya if he wants to prove that it was here even before Erison. But if it's found Bebeis Avia, so we assume it's always been Bebeis Avia, even before Erison. And therefore, it's the father that has to bring the raya. So that is the difference, says Rava, but it's all according to Rebbe Gamliel. So says the Gemara, Eis Ve'abaya, does that really work? So what are we saying? That the husband, in the second line of the Mishnah, so if this was here b'shas nisuin, so we assume it was always here b'shas nisuin, but not earlier. That's why the husband has to bring the raya that these mumah were there before erison. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Why should he have to bring a raya that these mumah were there before erison? Let him just bring a raya that they were there even after erison. And once you have them even after erison, so then he should have the principle of kan nimsu v'kan hayu that shoots the mumah back to even before Erison. That's the Gemara's question. Now let's read it inside. Eisvei Abaya nichnas al rishus habal tzarech lahavi raya sha'ad shelo tisaris hayu ba'mumin eilu. If she already has nisuin, she's already in the rishus habal, the second line of the Mishnah, then the husband has to bring the raya that the mumin were there before Erison, v'haya mekho mekartos, and his marriage was not a marriage, because these are mumin that negate the marriage. So the Gemara says, ad shlotis aris in, what's the diuk? The husband has to bring a raya that these mumin were here before erison. Mishet tis aris lo. But if he would just bring a raya that they were here bebeis aviha, but after shas erison, that wouldn't be good enough. But 1 minute, why not? If we know they were there b'shas erison, v'yamai, lema kan nimsu v'kan hayu. Once we know that they're there b'shas erison, so we should say the principle of whatever you know of a halachic reality, of a physical reality, you say that goes back to the original moments of time that this reality existed. Meaning, as long as we can get it back into Beis Aviah, so we should say that's good enough. Why should the husband have to bring the raya that they were there even before erison? So the Gemara says, no. Because there's another chazako working here. This Gemara is chock full of chazakos. There are chazakos on both sides. Right? We started off this discussion, just two chazakas. Cheskas Gaguf and Cheskas Mamon. Rabbi Yeshua is a Cheskas Mamon man, and Rabbi Gamliel is a Cheskas Haguf man. But now we're going to add on more chazakas, and more chazakas. And each one, we're going to have to ask, is it just a question of number? The Gemara is going to say two against one, so that's what it wins. Or is it, as we've discussed in the past, more, how does the chazaka work? Which type of chazaka could torpedo another chazaka? Which is birur, which is hachra? Which clarifies and which just says, okay, you don't know what to do, so do this. So that's the question, that's a lot of what's going on behind the scenes of this next Gemara. So again, what does the Gemara say? Why does the Baal have to bring a raya that the moon was there before erison? Just bring a raya that it was there even after, and then you say kanim suva kan hayu. So amar le, no, mishen is arsa. If you bring it only after, if you bring a raya that it was only there after erison, that's not good enough. Mishum dikel meimar chazaka ein adam shose bekos ela imkain bodko. You don't literally, the person doesn't drink from something unless they look inside to see if there are any bugs floating around in the cup, right? You don't drink something without looking, right? Without checking. So here, this was a mum that existed, so there's a good chance that, and there's a good probability that the husband checked for mumin before he went through with erison, with kiddushin. And the fact that he went through with kiddushin, and we know there might have been a mum there, so Mistami knew about it, that he said, it's okay, I love her anyway, and I'm going to marry her anyway. So that's a chazaka, v'harav, and a fayisu. If he could prove, if the husband proved that there was a mum there, so Mistami, what, he only knows about the mum now? He didn't know about the mum earlier, so now he did the research. What, he wouldn't have done the research earlier? Mistama, you do the research before you get married. Right, what does the Gemara say in the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin? V'ahat l'recha kamocha, asur l'kadesh ad she'irena. It's asur for a man to get married to do Kiddushin before he sees her. Amazing application of the Yatzar Recha Kamocha. Because the Gemara says, we don't want you to be in a predicament where you're not going to be attracted to your wife, you can end up divorcing her. That's a violation of Yahafta l'recha kamocha. Right, and we've noted in the past that it's interesting that throughout Shas, there's very little in the way of normal applications of V'yahat l'recha kamocha. You only have, like, that one, you have to see your wife, and also, when you're killing a person, you have to kill them nicely, bar lo misa yafe, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, but the regular cases, like the Rambam says in Ilchas Avel, what's V'yahat l'recha kamocha? Bikur cholim, and nicham avelim, and achras azarchim, all of those, there aren't too many Gemaras like that. The Gemara says it backwards in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, when Hillel says to the Ger, Dalech Sani Lechavech Lo Sevin, what you don't want done to you, don't do to your friend. But the positive of V'yahat l'recha kamocha is not so common. So you have to see your wife before you get married. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So here, Mistama, if he's doing the research now, Mistama, he saw it earlier, he knew about it earlier, and if he knew about it and he didn't get married anyway, Ravin Ifayisu. So yes, if the husband brings a raya that the mum existed when she was still in her father's house, so that's true. But overriding the kan nimsu v'kan hayu, that you might say, well, it must have been there beforehand, is the chazaka that if he must have known about it and he was mochel. Ra'a v'nefayesu. So let's just finish this line and then we'll talk about where the Rambam uses this. I hachi achlo tesaris nami. 1 second, that's such a great chazaka, so then maybe even if he brings a raya that it was there before Erison, you should say this chazaka of Ra'a v'nefayes, and he should have to pay the entire ksuba. Ella, what must you say? There's a chazaka on the other side. Ella amrinan, chazaka ein adam mefayes b'mumen. Nah, he must not have known about it, because a person isn't mochel objectively problematic realities for the marriage. So a person is not mefayes b'mumen. So Gemara says, "Sahachanami chazaka ein adam mefayes b'mumen." So even if it brings a raya for afterwards, ein adam mefayes b'mumen, and therefore you should say it's good enough to prove kanimsu v'kanhayu, and therefore he shouldn't have to pay the ksuba. So Ella says the Gemara, mishenis arsa after erison. Again, what's the case? We're talking about if a mum is found b'beis baila. And therefore, the second line of the Mishnah, and therefore the husband has to bring the raya that it was there earlier. How early does he have to bring the raya? He has to bring a raya that it was there even before Erison. And the Gemara is bothered. Why? What's the difference? Once he proves that it was there in her father's house, why before Erison is that better than after Erison? So the Gemara has chazakas on both sides. So the Gemara now tries to have this distinction. Elamishan is arsa. If he brings a raya that it was only there after Erison, that's not good enough. Why? Mishum ti'ika tarti. There are two chazakas working in her favor. There are two chazakas working that she should get the entire ksuba. What are they? Chazaka ha'amin haguf al cheskaso. Number one, as Rabbi Gamliel always says, remember we're in the world of Rabbi Gamliel, cheskas haguf. She has a cheskas haguf that the woman is not born with mumin. Right, that is what we're going to talk about, unless there's an exception to that rule. But generally, women are not born with mumin. Number one, there's a chazakas haguf, and number two, v'chazaka ein adam shoseh b'kos elim kein bodko. And there's a chazaka that he would have known about, and he must have been mochel v'hai rov and afayisu. So there are two chazakos on her side. Says the Gemara, my amir, what are you going to say? Chazaka ein adam afayis b'mumin. There's another chazaka on his side that he's not mefuyas b'mumin, and therefore he must not have known about it, and therefore now it must have been a surprise, and therefore he does not have to pay the ksuba. Says the Gemara, havichad b'makom tarti. That's only two against one. You have two chazakas on her side, one chazak on his side, and therefore v'chad b'makom tarti lo amrinon. You don't say one against two, and therefore in the case of the mum found b'beis aviha, we say that the husband has to bring the raya. The burden of proof is on him because there are two chazakas on her side and only one chazaka on his side. Let's just finish the whole sentence. But what about if he does get to prove it before Erison? Why does that work? If he brings the raya, ad shelo tisaris. But if he's able to bring the raya that the mum existed before Erison, so then it switches. Ha'amid haguf al cheskaso lo ika lameimar. There's no longer a cheskas haguf. Because you know the mum was there before Erison. So what? It wasn't there when she was born. But you know it was there. So the cheskas haguf is knocked out. So now we've just leveled the playing field. Ma'ika chazaka de'in adam shosa bekos ela imkein bodko v'hai rov v'nefayisu. What? She still has one chazaka on her side that a man wouldn't get married unless he deeply checks it out. And here, he must have checked it out and got married anyway. Adaraba, chazaka ein adam mefayis b'mumin. No, a person is not mefayis b'mumin, meaning it's really one against one. And when it's one against one, ha'amed mamon achaskaso. So the cheskas mamon says, or you can just say it's two against one. You can say it's two for the husband and one for the wife, or you can just say it's one against one, and therefore, the cheskas mamon always tells you shev al tasa. Always says, ha'amotze b'chevir olav araya, and therefore, we don't do anything, and therefore the husband does not have to pay the full 200 of the ksuba, because he could prove that it was there before erison, and therefore the extra 100 of the ksuba he keeps, and he only has to pay 100.
Why doesn't the cheskas mamon initially make it tarati v'tarati?
So why doesn't the cheskas mamon originally make it tarati v'tarati? Because right when he goes into the marriage, so who says there's a cheskas mamon there? He has a chiyuv to pay the ksuba. And once you, if you don't know anything else besides that, so then as we've discussed, how much is that considered already hers yet? So that once that chiyuv exists, so I think that undermines the cheskas mamon. Here, if there's a mum before erisid, so the whole chiyuv is called into question. Mechatos, whether the chiyuv ksuba kicked in at all. The Rambam, in a different context of not marriage, seems to relate to this principle as well. At least the Magen Mishnah thinks so. The Rambam says in Hilchas Mechira, in Perek Tesvav, Halacha Gimel, V'chein, ha-mocher l'chaveiro, karka, o eved, o behemo. We'll get to a similar case later on today. I sell you something. Karka, or an eved, or a behema. O shar metaltalin. V'nimsa b'mekach mum shelo yada bo alokeach. And there's a mum that the buyer did not know about. Right? Something happened. I bought something. Machziro afilu achar kamashanim. Could return it even after, years later, I didn't know that this cow has a heart defect. And I thought this cow was going to last me 10 years and only lasted me 3 years because, you didn't tell me. And this was obviously something that I could do. It was known beforehand. Shazem makartosu. Vahu shalo yishtamesh b'mekach achar sheyada b'mum. As long as you didn't use it after you found out about the mum, right? Sometimes when we find something wrong with something, we bow out, okay, don't use it. We're going to return it. So don't use it, because if you use it already, that's already shows that, okay, I'm going to use it anyway. That's what the Rambam says. As long as you didn't use it after you knew about the mum, then it's returnable. Mechatos, even after 3 years. Avalam nishtamish bo achar shera'a hamum, hareze machal, veino yachol ha'achzir. But if you used it after you saw the mum, that's mechila. I'm going to use it anyway, even with the mum. No, you're not allowed to use it. Says the Magen Mishnah. Where does the Rambam get this from? Our Gemara. Ein Adam, right? With the language of our Gemara. Of Ein Adam, Shosa Bekos, Adam Kein Bodko. And if he was Bodik it, and he found the mum, and he used it anyway, so that undermines his Taina. He quotes, Yatzalo, says the Magen Mishnah, Mimasha Amru Kein, Ben Makadish, Asa Isha, Velo, Ba'alev, and Imso Ba'amumin, Darmei Chazaka, Ein Adam, Shosa Bekos, Adam Kein Bodko, V'chai Beksuba, V'chein Heim Dine Mekahu Memkar, Shavim Le'isha, Bedinim Elu. In this regard, as it says in Hamadir, so there's this regard, they are similar. The Sha'ar Mitzvah Balacha here asks an interesting question. He just is Meir the question without answering it. He says, he's quoting the Chassam Sofer, what happens if there are two women that are found? We say, a chazaka ein adam fayis b'mumin. The Gemara says the chazaka here. What if there are two women found? One galui, one nistar. Uba, imzu beiz mumin. Achaz al padachta begalui, one on her forehead. And Uba Vaday Rav in his pious. And that one he obviously knew about. But there's a second mum that was Benistar. So the question is, do we say, well, if he was Nispayes B'mumin, and he already saw the open mum, then we say, he's Nispayes B'mumin. And therefore, he would be Mefuyis with the other mum too. V'yefshar she Nispayes gam be'idoch. Or do we say, no. Right? Only Nispayes, Odim Amashe Ispayes Ispayes, V'idach Haskasa She'inim Ispayes. Only what he knew about. You can't say, oh, once he's, this is a guy who's not machmed on things. No, you can't just throw everything in. V'nira l'chora, that's the suffix of the Chassam Sofer, says the Sha'ar Mitzvah Balacha, V'nira l'chora, yesh lo mar, dim nispayis b'mum shebegalui, kol shekei shenispayis b'mum shebeseser. Why don't you say a kal v'chomer? Right? If the mumshe ben seser doesn't affect her at all, so mumshe ben gali is even more embarrassing. So if he's able to live with that, surely, unless you say it's an issue of cumulative. I could deal with a wife with one mum, but with two mumin, says that's more difficult. I can't. You know, everybody has little things about them, but if this woman has all the little things about her, you know, that's much more difficult. That's his suffix. Kiva tekvar ika kvar beis mumin al zu einam afayis the choser v'neyor gam hamum de ispayis. Right. Also the original mum. It's an issue of cumulative. So he leaves it the suffix. What we would say in this case. Okay. Let's. A point in Tosfos. Tosfos here deals with the issue of why. Oh, I'm sorry. Tosfos deals with your question, right? The issue of cheskas mamon. The cheskas mamon. The top Tosfos. The im tomar where the Gemara said chad malkam tarti v'hogabi ba'al ikanami tarti. Chada, I take back the answer before. Chada de ina de mispayis b'mumin, v'chada de islam lamemer, kanimsu v'kan hoyu. V'hani trei cheski de baal, it doesn't quote exactly the cheskas mamon, but these two should be adifi tfei mihani trei chazaki de isha. He explains why the husband's chazakos should be even stronger. Tosfos' answer is, and we have to talk about exactly why this is, Tosfos says, in a makom, I'm sorry, even first Rashi, I'm sorry, that's where I saw it. Rashi, the top line of Tosfos, of Rashi, the hemin mamon al cheskaso lo amrina de nevi nami hachatarti. Why? To be makom chazaka de gufa chazaka de mamon lav klumhu. Rashi has a mysterious line. When there's a cheskas haguf, the cheskas mamon doesn't get off the ground. So you can't always say that. That's gufa the machlokas. So be sure, Rav Gamliel. Rabbi Yeshua says cheskas mamon bitzer cheskas haguf. But at least within Rabbi Gamliel here, once there's a cheskas aguf, the cheskas mamon doesn't get off the ground. The question is, what does that exactly mean? Maybe one could say that cheskas haguf is more based on logic. You know, bodies naturally don't change. So if you see it change, you try to, you know, say it happened the latest as possible. Cheskas mamon is just more of like what we would call the hachra. What to do in a case that you don't know. You know, so some achronim say that's what Tosfos means here. It's not based on some logic that I might have said. If you look in the Ritva is a different lashon, and that is, the Ritva says, you know what, maybe he's saying this for Rashi, or just his own shot, you know why the Cheskas mamon won't win? Because his taina isn't a vadai in this case. He says, v'im tomar, l'Rav Gamliel ha'ika l'bal na'ami chazaka d'bamona, he says, lo chashev le'klum b'makam shehu toein shema. As I said earlier, once there's a chi, you know he has to pay the ksuba. The question is how much? So that's why it is not strong enough. And he quotes Vim Tomar, why isn't it good enough? Adding on with Kanipsuva Kanhayu, he says, no, that's not called something that wins. Okay, and then Tosfos also discusses the title of the Baal's Garua, because they have to work together, Masha Enki and the woman's claims that they can work separately. Okay, this is all discussions of what happened to the Cheskas Mamon. But again, the Ikra, what the Ritva says, is that he has the Chazak anyway, when he wrote the Ksuba. Okay, saw it somewhere. Viter. Rav Ashi Amar. Answer number three now. How do you answer Gibshad in the Mishnah? Again, shot number one, Rabbi Elazar was Machlokes. Mish Taver, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. Answer number two, Rava, based on Kan Nimsu V'Kan Hoyu. So now we get to answer number three. Ravashi Amar, Reisha Mana La'aba Biyatcha, V'Seifa Mana Li Biyatcha. What does that mean? Again, we're within Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel from the first parak who holds cheskas haguf of the woman. Remember all those machlokos. A woman says, I was nanas after erison, or mukateitz, and all the cases, machlokos. Or the woman says it was a kusher. All the cases. So we're within Rabbi Gamliel. But the question here is, she has a cheskas haguf, but who's the baldavar that is arguing now with the husband? Is it the woman herself, or is it her father? A cheskas haguf could support the person who's talking their guf. But if I'm trying to use, says the Gemara now, a cheskas haguf of a different person, so that's not as strong. And therefore, I'm going to have to prove my case. So again, Reisha, in the Reisha, where the father, the Reisha is just Erison, so it's the father is the address. So the father is using his daughter's cheskas haguf to get the ksuba paid, So that's not as strong. And therefore, in that case, the father has to bring the raya. It's similar to mana la'aba b'yadcha. Your father, right, owes, right, mana la'aba b'yadcha. Right, a mana to the father, to your father, to my father is in your hands. Right, he's not claiming for himself, he's claiming for his father. So whenever you're claiming for somebody else, it's not as strong, and therefore, he has to prove it. Right, Rashi says, v'gabi av, lo amrinan beguf shela, deten ichaskasa. Right, her cheskas aguf is not as strong. Number one. Number two, v'seifa manali biyotcha. But in the seifa, it's herself. Now she's a nesua. Now she's claiming her own suba. So now cheskas aguf, that is why that would win in that. That would be better in that case. And again, the Ritva says that here we're talking about where the father is towing shema, and that's why her guf is not as strong. Does the father know for sure? No. Maybe, says the Ritva, if he was towing vadai. So then that would make it better for the cheskas aguf. But either way, that's the Gemara. Cheskas aguf only works for the person making the claim. So the Gemara says, Esve, Rav Acha, Bereda, Rav Avila, Rav Ashi. Is that really true? When the Tosefta, you know, many Toseftas expand on the Mishnayos. So when the Tosefta here talks about our Mishnah, the Tosefta says, Mode Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir, who everything we've been talking about today has been Rebbe Meir Shita, right, in our Mishnah. Divrei Rebbe Meir. So even Rebbe Meir, who makes this distinction of if it's found in the father's house, then the father has to bring the raya. If it's found in the husband's house, the husband has to bring the raya. That whole distinction does not apply if it is Moda Rebbe Meir b'mumin haru'uyin lavo imami beis aviha. If it's a good probability that this mum was there earlier, the beis aviha, then even a mum that's found after nisuin, the father has to bring the raya. Why shala avla aviraya? So says the Gemara, why? V'yamai. If the machlokas now is it between the husband and the wife, so what? That it's a mum that might have come earlier. She's arguing. Cheskas aguf. V'yamai manali biyotchahu. Right? She should win. It's still her cheskas aguf, even though there's a good probability that it was there before. You don't know vadai, so therefore, she should still win. So the Gemara says, no. This is a case where it's basically vadai. You know, came beforehand. Hachamayaskinan biyateres. She has an extra finger. Right? That didn't grow, you know, after Arison. Right? She was born with it, obviously. Right? So that's why the husband wins. The husband wins here. Yateres, my raya maisi. Okay, so what type of raya is she going to bring? That she's going to try to win. So, raya derav, and if I sue. No, it's a raya that he knew about this. What, he might have gotten married without looking at her hands. Right, but Rav, and if I assume, maybe she'll bring a raya that he knew about it, and therefore he was mefuyas, and he didn't say anything, he didn't make anything conditional, and therefore that's the raya that she's going to bring. Not obviously a raya that it wasn't there before Arison, but that it was there before Arison, and he knew about it. Okay, that is the Gemara relating to the three answers, how to understand the Mishnah. The Chashuk Echemet has the following case. We think these halachas don't come up. Right, Chashuk Echemet, Sheila, Maisa Beruvain, Shekana Shaon Maod Yukrati. Ruvain buys a very fancy watch. Avur Chatno, for his son-in-law, right, give a gold watch to the son-in-law, he comes home with it, worth thousands of shekel. Ach, Shilema La Brachati Mishavio, he paid half. He got the other half on credit. He paid half. Vizchayav L'shaim Zachati Yashin L'achar Chodesh, he'll give the other half, Tashlumin. Right, I'll say the second payment will be in a month. And he gets home, and he opens the watch to show his wife. Look what we bought for the new son-in-law. Ra sheyesh srita. They see there's a big scratch across the face of the watch. Like, whoa, a scratch. So then he goes back to the store. He's like, it's scratched. And because he knows that I didn't do anything. I just brought it home. And the balachanus has no idea when it happened because he wasn't in the store. He asks the woman in the store who sold the watch, the Zabanit, right? Shehaisa Sham To'enes. Shebur, she says, it did not have a scratch. Did not have a scratch when I gave it to him. And he's like, I brought it home, and now it has a scratch, and I didn't do anything with it. So, Hadin in me. It could come up, very halakha l'maisa. Hadin in me. So, do you say, Kanim suva kan hoyu? Do you say, Chazaka, a person sees the watch before he buys it, and he must have seen the scratch, and he wanted it anyway, and if not, so these are halakha l'maisa. It's not just sitting here in Ksubas Perek HaMadir, right? What do you say? So he said, l'chora, He says, relating our Gemara, he says, Hu adim bin yanenu. He's going to relate to a Gemara that we're going to have soon also. Afapi shalokeach lo shili medainis kol hakesef. Mikol makam kiven shasavik nolad birshuso. The savik was nolad in his rishus. So mistama, he should have to bring the raya that the srita, the scratch, existed earlier. But then he says, maybe not. Yitachin. Shekol masharmin in svarazu shalkan nimsavakan hayu. This svar that we've been talking about, that if it's here, it must have been here the entire time that this zman existed. Moalaf lahotzi mamon. When do you say that? Hainu kishashneim toanim bari. O kishashneim toanim shema. Avo benidonenu shabal hachanus hu shema. Vekone hu bari. The kone knows he didn't scratch the watch. And the bal hachanus wasn't even in the store. Yitachein shemat mahani tainis habari shel halokeach kinega tainis hashema shel amocher. Kedei lahafzik es mamono, and he doesn't have to pay the rest. And even if the zabanit, and even if the mocheres, the woman in the store, says bari, but still, this is a case of mana la'aba biyadcha, because it's the storekeeper who the machlokes is with, and he's trying to use her claim. That's like the father trying to use the cheskas haguf of the daughter. It's not the same person. And therefore, that should weaken. V'yemkein ulai hachanami. Right? Therefore, it's not the same. Say Liza Mitzarachian. It doesn't answer the question, but it's a serious shayla exactly what... shayla goes both ways. You know, could he just get another watch automatically if they both argue about it? So, he wants to do the right... Does he have to pay the other half? Or does the mocher have to give back the other half? Right, so there's, now you're in the middle here. You can't just like say, okay, stop, somebody's wrong. So that's the Shiloh. Okay, we continue now two dots. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, right, this is a classic daf of Ksubis being Shas Katan. Right, we mentioned back on daf Beis, right, back a couple of months ago, about that Beis, that from the Birkei Yosef, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Yerodea, that Ksubis is, right, Kolel Kol HaTalmud. That was the language of the Birkei Yosef. There's another example where we haven't discussed issues of Baba Kama and Baba Basra. So right here, we get back to that, relating it to our Mishnah. Hamach Lepar B'chamor. What happens if I have a cow, you have a donkey, and we're switching? I need a donkey, you need a cow. So Hamach Lepar B'chamor. So we're switching. Umashach, what happened? Umashach Bala Chamor is a para. The Bal HaChamor pulls the para. He's coned to the para. He does Meshicha. And now we go back to my house. I'm the Bal HaChamor. I got the para now. Now it's mine. Now let's go to my backyard to give you the donkey. We go to my backyard and the donkey's dead. The donkey died and we have no idea when the donkey died. The donkey died and they don't know. If the donkey died before I pulled the cow, and therefore it's not my cow, I have to give it back because I didn't fulfill my half. Or we say no, it was after I pulled the cow, and right when I pulled the cow, the halacha is the kinyan's done. The donkey's yours, wherever it is. And therefore the donkey died in your rishus and it's tough luck on you. So that's the question. We don't know when the donkey died. So says Shmuel, Al Bal HaChamor. Lahavi Raya, Shahaya Chamoro Kayam Bishas Meshichas Para. The Bal HaChamor. I pulled the cow, I have to bring the Raya that my donkey was still alive when I pulled the cow. I have to bring the Raya. And if I can't, so then I give back the cow. Or I have to pay for it. So it's on the Bal HaChamor to bring the Raya. Why? Why is this true? So if you think it's something simple, it's not simple. Tosas has three suggestions why this is true. Why should the Bal HaChamor, who now is holding the para? He's holding the para now, so why should he have to bring the raya? So just look at the, I'll just read the three lines in Tosfos. First line of Tosfos. In Tiber Maskel al bala chamor. Afapi shehu muchzak, the cheskas haguf nami misayelei. He's holding the cow. And there's a cheskas haguf that the animal was alive until proven dead. So he should, doesn't he have a strong claim? Vahavilon lo ukme achamor becheskas shehaya kayam. Why isn't that? Shouldn't we say that the Bal HaPara should bring the raya? Elataima de Shmuel dumukminon la para becheskas marakama. Until you know for sure what happened, all animals have connections to their original owners. What's called cheskas marakama. And even though the donkey owner is now holding the cow, but we're goofy trying to figure out if the cow should stay his. And therefore, cheskas marakama, another type of chazaka. The chazaka of the original owner wins over the cheskas haguf, of the other animal being healthy and the cheskas muchzak, the difference between muchzak and cheskas marakama, even though I'm holding the cow now, but it was originally your cow. Number one is cheskas marakama wins. Number two, look at the third to last line in Tosfos. Alkei nira, a second pshat. The time of the Shmuel, lavi shum cheskas marakama. We're not going to go through all the problems with each shita, but not because of cheskas marakama. Ella islan lameimar. Kivan dishtaka chachamor de mace. Ki hechi dach shabu mace. Ken yishlan ulachliko shoye mace gam kodem. Who says there's such a thing as a cheskas haguf being alive by an animal? By a person, you say, okay, you can assume that they're alive until dead. But animals, maybe not. Maybe it has to do with hashkacha pratis and hashkacha klalis, right? That hashkafically it can relate. But says Tosfos, so what? You don't have a cheskas haguf, the animal's alive. So you know why he has to bring a proof? Because the cheskas haguf isn't so strong. What was the first day of Tosfos? Cheskas marakama, strong, it wins. What's the second day of Tosfos? No, the reason that the Baal HaChamar has to bring a raya is that who says his animal died? You know, now. No, maybe he died hours ago. There's no cheskas haguf by the animal. Number two. Answer number three, turnover. Tosfos, about the 10th line or so in Tosfos. It says, V'nira l'riva. V'nira l'riva, about the 8th, probably the 12th, 13th line. V'nira l'riva, didavka hacha, shemachzik atzmo, misupak bipara. Ve'en lo shum taina brura. Who does lina basar chazak and demarakama? What's his third answer of Tosfos? His state of muchzak is weak. He doesn't know. He's holding it, but he has no idea when the donkey died. So muchzak is only strong, a strong factor, says Tosfos, when you have a tainas bari. If you have a tainas shema, you have no. So what? You're holding the cow, but you have no idea whether the cow should be yours or not. So Tosfos comes at this issue from three different windows. Either you say cheskas marakama is very strong, or do you say the cheskas haguf of the donkey is weak, or do you say the muchzak of him holding the cow is weak? Three different emphases that Tosfos has to explain the din of Shmuel. Again, what's the din of Shmuel? When we're switching the cow and the donkey, I pulled the cow, I have to bring a raya that my donkey was still alive when I pulled the cow. Three different answers in Tosfos. So now we get back to the last three words of Shmuel, though. The last three words of Shmuel are Vitana Tuna Kala. And our Mishnah about a Kala is like this din. Shmuel says our Mishnah supports him. So the Shaila is, what part of our Mishnah is like Shmuel? What part of our Mishnah is similar to the Bala Chamor having to prove that the Chamor was still alive? Right, we know there's a lot of, is it the husband having to bring a proof? Is it the father? Is it the Reish? Is it the Seifa? Very unclear. So, hey Kala, which part of the Mishnah fits in well to Shmuel? So, Ilema, Kala Bebesa Viha, is it the Kala Bebesa Viha, meaning the first line? Is it the first line, meaning Rebbe Yehoshua? Well, going back, Rashi says, to the first of the three suggestions, that the Mishnah is really reflecting two different opinions. The first line is like Rebbe Yeshua, the second line is Rebbe Gamliel. And what's the first line, Rebbe Yeshua? That the father has to bring the Raya, and the father always has to bring the Raya. Because Cheskas Mamon wins. So is that what's similar to Shmuel? Because by Shmuel, we say that, look, Rashi says, Kala Rashi doesn't explain this one. Right, this is the halacha like Yeshua that they both hold that the cheskas mamon, the chamor, we don't know whether the chamor was alive or not. So therefore, we assume that the para still belongs to the original person, original owner, just like in our Mishnah, the cheskas mamon, the husband doesn't have to pay? Says the Mishnah, it's not exactly so smooth, that comparison, even as I just said it. You know, it's not so smooth. Why? Me dummy. How could you compare the first case of our Mishnah to Shmuel's din? Hasa maisi av raya umafik. There, the father is bringing the raya to be motzi mamon. Our case, the balachamar is holding on to the para. Hacha maisi balachamar raya umukim. You can't compare it to the first line. The father is bringing a raya to be motzi mamon. The balachamar is bringing a raya to keep the cow that he's holding. So one's motzi, one's machzik. So Shmuel's not similar to the first line of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try the second line of the Mishnah. Amar Rebbe Abba, Kala Bebeis Chameha. Okay, fine. It's like the second line of the Mishnah, like Rabbi Gamliel, meaning in Shmuel's case, he's being machzik, and in the second line of the Mishnah, the Baal is proving it to be machzik the money, so it doesn't have to be the ksuba. So that's pretty smooth. In both cases, they're being machzik. So the Gemara says, it's not exactly the same there either. Viakati lo dami. It's still not exactly the same. Hasam Baal Maisi Raya Umara Lelechezke Ta'av. What is the Baal doing there? Is he proving anything himself, or is he just undermining the person against him? There, he's just undermining the Baal. He's saying that this woman, your daughter, had the mum before Erison. So he's really undermining the other guy's claim. But hacha balachamar maisi raya umukim cheske biyade. And here he's being mechazik his own taina that the donkey died later. Meaning in the Mishnah, the av has a father has a cheskas haguf, and he's ruining the cheskas haguf. By Shmuel, the balachamar has a cheskas haguf, and he's strengthening the cheskas haguf, that the donkey was alive until very recently. So one's ruining the other cheskas haguf, and one is strengthening his own cheskas haguf. So again, it's not exactly similar, our Mishnah, to the case of Shmuel. So, try number three, which is really going back to try number one. Go back to the first line of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Kal Babes Aviha. Right, but what was the problem there? We said one was to be Machzik, one was to be Motzi. Right, the father is being Motzi Mamon, and the Baal HaChamor is being Machzik. Ula Kiddushin. No. The issue in the Mishnah maybe is about the husband saying, I want my Kiddushin money back. It's not about the Ksuba. It's about the money that the husband paid for Kiddushin. And therefore, when the father proves it, is to be Machzik. It's not to be Motzi. And that's why it's similar to Shmuel. What was our problem with idea number one? One's Motzi, one's Machzik? No, they're both about Machzik. The Baal HaChamor is Machzik the Parah, and the father is Machzik the Kiddushin money that the husband gave him. And the Gemara just alludes to a Machlokas elsewhere. V'lo tema, and don't say that this is only a suggestion. Aliba demanda amar Kiddushin lav l'tivu initnu. What is that? That's a Gemara elsewhere that discusses if a man gives a woman Kiddushin money and then the man dies. Do we say the money goes back? Do we say, you know what, he has flexibility, he wants to give the money even if it doesn't end up, he doesn't end up fulfilling the process. That's a machlokas elsewhere. Kiddushin litivuin, from the word tava, to be drowned. He's giving the money to be drowned, but he gives it no matter what. Or lav litivuin, no, he's only giving it, you know, because he assumes that the process is going to continue. So the Gemara says, V'lo tema, and don't say that this sugya, where the father brings a raya and he gets the money, gets to keep the money. Aliba demanda rekidushin lav letivu initnu. Don't say that he only has to bring a raya according to that opinion, but let's say, according to the other opinion of letivu initnu, he wouldn't have to bring a raya, because we say, okay, the husband gave it, even if it was mumin. No. Even if you say that when a man gives the woman kiddushin money, he has flexibility in his mentality, and therefore he wants her to have it no matter what. That's only if there was a vade kiddushin, and then let's say something happened afterwards, like he died. So that's where you have a mandama that says, you know what, she could keep the money. But here, if you don't even know if it was a real marriage or not, then even the mandamer that says letivuin e maisi raya in ilolo. You don't say it's exactly the same, and therefore even if you say normally letivuin, that's only if it was a good kiddushin with a new factor afterwards. But if the shaila is whether it was a proper kiddushin, so then you don't say that they get to keep it. Okay, so meisve, one more question relating to this these issues, and then again this is the last stage, and then tomorrow's daf is totally new world. Tomorrow's daf is about Rav Yehuda ben Levi and the Malach HaMavis. It's one of the unique dafim in all of Shas. So Meisveh, but first we have a little bit of Treifus. We know the third parak of Maseches Chulin is all about Eilu Treifus. Question exactly how many Treifus are there. All the different Rishonim have their different numbering systems. What exactly is a Treifa? Remember the difference between a Nevela and a Treifa. A Nevela is an animal which is perfect, but it just didn't have a proper Shechita. That's a Nevela. Treifa is it had a proper Shechita. It just had some other problem with it in a different part of the body, right? And that's why we check for treifus after the shechita in certain parts of the animal. We're not checking for nevela, that if the shechita was done properly. We didn't mention that Reb Chaim, as is reported in his bar mitzvah pshetel, for his bar mitzvah drasha, he gave a shiur in the sheet of the Rambam, the yachas between nevela and trefa. Right, that was nevela and trefa, and really he assumed, according to the Rambam, it was really one shame iser, because the Rambam says that nevela and trefa could be mitztarif to each other. If I eat half a kazayis of nevela, half a kazayis of trefa, I am chayiv, even though other, generally, two different isurim can't combine. But the Rambam says that, among many other rayas, that nevela and trefa are really one shame iser. But trefas, as is listed in the third parak of Maseches Chulin, are all certain permanent defects. And the poskim say, even if bisman hazeh, we know in either direction, we know whether there's a certain defect in the animal, that the animal will die within 12 months, but it's not on the list. Or, let's say there's something on the list that we know the animal will not die within 12 months, this is the Mesorah. This is the Mesorah of the trefas that we have, this type of clawed by this animal, and this type trampled by this animal, even if reality today seems different. This is the Mesorah the Rambam says clearly in Hilchos Shechita, and therefore this is what we hold. This is one of the sugyas of modern science relating to Talmudic evidence, which seems to be based on the science of the times, but sometimes we say the halacha is still the halacha, even if the reason in our minds might not apply. Right? This comes up by mayim shelanu, using water that was kept overnight for matzah. It comes up by killing lice on Shabbos, kinim, right? Einam parim v'ravin, right? A big sugya that we quote, there's a letter from Rav Dessler in the fourth paragraph of Michtam Elio about this, but either way, that's not for now. But what's the case? Machat shenimseis bovi besakosa. So we know an animal has a number of stomachs. The cow has a number of stomachs. The food goes in first. Right, the Gemara here assumes that this animal that we're talking about has four stomachs, maybe it has more, certain types of animals, but right, because it's all about malagera. It goes down, starts getting processed, comes back up, goes back down. Either way, in one of the stomachs, the trefa is if there is a hole through and through. Hole through and through. But what about this case? There's a needle that's in the wall of one of the stomachs. Mitzad echad, it was only a hole on one side, kshera. The animal is still a kshera. Mishnei tzadin trefa, but if the needle went through and through, it is a trefa. Nimsalea kurdam, if on the edge of the needle you find a little glob of blood, so then biyadu ashu lefnei shechita. Then obviously this needle went in while the animal was still alive and pumping. And therefore, even if it went through both sides, so it was there before shechita. Lo nimsale kortam, biyadu ashu lacha shechita. If you don't find a dam on it, then you know it was after shechita, and then it depends one or two sides. Hoglat pihamaka, if it was crusted over already, the blood. So you know it's been there for a little while. So then, biyadua sheshlosha yamim kodem shechita. Then you know it's been there for 3 days, at least before the shechita, which Rashi quotes has certain ramifications in terms of mekaftos, if the butcher himself bought it from a supplier. From a supplier, you know, even 3 days before the shechita, this animal had problems. Lo huglat pi hamaka, but if the maka wasn't crusted over, hamotzi mechaveiro alav araya. So then hamotzi mechaveiro alav araya. That's not clear. Who is being the motzi here? So the next line, v'iyav tabach damei, and therefore if the butcher already paid the supplier for the animal, then he's the motzi. So then boila, so yerayu mafik, he has to bring the raya that this animal was already a trefa when I bought it, and you have to give me back my money. So says the Gemara now, v'yamai, according to Shmuel, who says, remember, the bala chamor has to bring the raya that the chamor died in his possession later, bal behema laisi raivanokim. But why? The owner of the animal should have to bring a raya to keep the money. If we're saying it all goes by, what did we just say? The third answer of the Gemara, relating our Mishnah to Shmuel, that you always have the person bringing the raya in these cases and machzik the money. The husband, the father brings the raya and holds on to the kiddushin money. The Baal HaChamar brings a raya and holds on to the cow. So here, the supplier should have to bring a raya and hold on to the money that was paid by the butcher. Answer, B'delo Yav Tavcha Demei. No, when it says Amos Mechavel of Araya, it means that. The butcher didn't pay yet. The butcher didn't pay it, so it means the butcher brings Araya to hold on to his money. You're right. So all these cases are Lahachzik Mamon. Says the Gemara, my Pascha. How can you make such a generalization? The butcher always doesn't pay and gets the animal first? Why is there such a generalization like that? So therefore we're back to the original question on Shmuel. So we change our whole sheet of Shmuel. Shmuel said on Amud Aleph, the Bala Chamor has to bring the Raya. So we say no. Ela ki asa rami bar yecheskel amar lo taitzaitzinu lani klali dekal Yehuda achi mishmei de Shmuel. Don't listen to this, that statement in the name of Shmuel. Hachi amar Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said in the case of the donkey and the cow. Not that the bala chamar always has to bring the raya. Kol shenolad safek bershuso alav haraya. Whoever's rishus the safek was found in, he has to bring the raya. And therefore, in the rishus of the bal hapara, the safek was nolad. Why? Because now the bala chamar has the cow. So the question is, does the bala para, is it when the donkey, when did it die? So the question is considered in his rishus, because the bala chamar was already mashach the para, and now we have the suffix of when the donkey died, so therefore it's just the opposite. The bala para has to bring the raya, that the donkey died earlier, and then he takes his cow back. So he has to bring the raya to be motzi. V'tana tuna kala, now we have the exact opposite, and that's what our Mishnah is fits into the raya of motzi. Meisvei, so now we ask the same question, on Shmuel from the statement in Treifus. Machat Shadim says, well, we base a kosa zachulu, the e, de lo yav talav dame. And what did we just say the last line means? If the butcher didn't pay yet, bal behema boy lasuye raya, umafik, the bala behema, the supplier has to bring a raya to be motzi the mammon. But 1 minute, viyamai, sveika bershus tabach is yalid. What did Shmuel just say? What's the rule? The rule is, wherever the suffix was found, that person has to bring the raya. So here the suffix was found when the butcher had it already. So the butcher should have to bring the raya. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Yes, it's a case where the butcher already paid the money, and who's the motzi there for the butcher? So the butcher has to bring the raya. So that's why the person who the suffix is nolan in his rishus is the one bringing the raya. Says the Gemara, my Pascha, how can you make such a general statement? The butcher always pays first. The answer is yes. Stama de milsa, kama de lo yahiv inish zuze, lo yahiv inish chiyuse. Until you give me the money, I'm not going to give you my animal. And therefore, yes, you don't usually do this on credit. So you can assume that the butcher paid. If the butcher paid, he's being the one who has to bring the rai, and he's being the motzi, which fits into Shmuel, because the suffix is nolad birshuso. So what do we do? In the last amud, we had a statement of 2 days of what Shmuel said in the donkey-cow case. The first opinion was that the bala hamar has to bring the raya. The second one was the bal hapara has to bring the raya. And all we did was to relate our Mishnah and to relate the case in Chulin to the statement of Shmuel. Right, that's what we did to fit in terms of the motzi and the machzik. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Bishop Torah, we'll get to the last daf here in the seventh parak. And again, some of the greatest stories in all of Shas are coming up on Amud Beis there, Baalei Ratan, and chazering all of your Talmud every 30 days. That's amazing stories. Stay tuned. Okay, we'll stop here.